download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk, WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk with Tachi and O'Brien.
Ooh, I like nice the little sound ring to it, of that. Doesn't
it? Is that good?
T&O.
So we're going from talking about elder abuse.
Tough one.
To talking, we're going overseas, finding out what, you know, folks paid attention to what happened Friday. Somebody who invests your money, you're somebody who has long-term, short-term stocks, bonds. I'm sure you're nervous.
Huge.
So I thought I would speak with a couple of folks and try to get a premier person in to kind of give us a little insight, not only to money, but even what's going on with, how do you say it, Brexit? Brexit?
Yeah.
With the whole vote.
Are these guests lining up to get on the show? I mean, how do they
do
they get bumped up the list?
No. Go easy here. We have joining us a gentleman who is based out of Chicago. He's called America's Money Smart Guy. And I hope I'm saying his name right, Matt Cipolla. Matt, are you there?
I'm here loud and clear. You said it properly. Absolutely.
Welcome to Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi, myself, Tony O'Brien.
Hoorah, Matt.
Hoorah. Semper Fi.
Semper Fi, never die, sir.
Yes, thank you very much for your service to our country.
Honored. Thank you for your support.
And we're looking forward to, well, before we get into the money thing, I got it knowing that you're a Chicago guy. You're a sports guy.
Of course.
All right. This is where the rubber meets the road.
Oh, here we go.
White Sox or Cubs?
You know, I'm a Northside kid. Roots come from Humble Park in the Northside, so I got to go Cubs. But I did sneak a couple times in the Comiskey Park watching Ron Kittle and his squad down there. So, but my heart's still with the Chicago Cubs, and I hope this is their year.
Yeah, not to go off topic, because we're going to have a nice conversation about what has been taking place over the past couple of days, but seeing that you were in Chicago, knowing that, I mean, you got Theo Epstein, who a lot of folks see as kind of helping the Sox finally get over the hump after 86 years, seeing what he has done there, I mean, you got a fantastic pitching staff, and you got a couple of guys that, I mean, you got a couple of former Sox. I will say Anthony Rizzo was out of the Sox farm system before he was traded away to San Diego, and then somehow was traded to the Cubs.
Right. And to add to that Chicago fan sports genre, I was blessed to grow up during the 85 Chicago Bears era, as well as the late 80s, early 90s with the Chicago Bulls. So what a blessing in one's life.
I will say in the Patriots' defense, they were up 3-0 at one point in that game.
Good point.
I think the Bears spotted him 10 points, and then they continued to crush him in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, that Bears team was...
monsters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Listen, any team that's allowed to create their own shuffle is entitled, and that was a fantastic... And I want to say that one of... who was their defensive coach?
You talk about...
Ryan, Buddy Ryan, right?
Buddy Ryan, of course, Buddy Ryan, yeah. Well, with nine of his defensive players scored touchdowns that year. Go figure, nine defensive players went to go score touchdowns.
Yes.
Look at the fridge. Fantastic.
Right.
Well, let's kind of get down to it. Well, good talking a little sports with you.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. From all the stuff that I've read, you are somebody who is a published author. You're a speaker. You're a financial coach, and you have your own company in trying to get folks to be smart with their money.
Yes. You know, my progression into the financial industry was really from a position of being broke, being $15,000 in credit card debt. Mm-hmm. Nobody gave me any financial education. Nobody gave me any financial awareness about my options. And that spurred a lot of, for lack of a better term, anger inside me, because here I am working hard day in, day out, traveling all over the world for the defense and advancement of our country, for our freedom, our interests overseas. And next thing you know, when it comes to my finances, when it comes to my money, nobody's teaching me. Mm. Nobody's giving me any training about money. And here I am finding myself in debt. And I realized that the rest of my platoon, they were having some financial issues too. And we all know that if our finances aren't right, mentally speaking, it just kind of messes with us. And sure, we can't do our job correctly. And so that's where 17 years ago, we started the Money Smart Movement, and we created this agency, the PHP agency, the people helping people, just showing people how to get out of debt, plan for their retirement, and how to create more income.
Now, is the PHP movement, is that the one that's currently on tour, or is that something else?
That's correct. Our agency is on a national 30-day tour, traveling to 20 different cities over the next 30 days.
Okay.
We're in Merrillville, Indiana today, and Redding, California tomorrow, NorCal, wow. Northern California. But we're promoting entrepreneurship and helping people understand that they have options to go from a W-2 employee to a 1099 independent contractor.
And just to also tell the audience, this is somebody that Fox Business taps, NBC, ABC, Fox Television affiliates, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, they tap this gentleman, have conversations with him about money. So definitely, Matt, you are the guy to talk to and get your thoughts on all this whole thing that unraveled late last week with Britain deciding by a very slim margin that they no longer wanted to be a part of the European Union.
Isn't it funny that the country that we all came from is the same country that's fighting for its independence in its own continent?
It's called karma.
But, you know, 48 hours ago, 72 hours ago, nobody knew what Brexit meant. People thought it was just a funny hashtag. But it's really Britain declaring its independence, saying, listen, instead of paying the European Union X amount of dollars per year, X amount of dollars from their taxes, they're saying we can do it better. We can have better channeling of our resources and create better industry for our country. And our country is upset about its immigration situation. It's upset about its healthcare situation. It's I think they called it the economy of Project Fear. Mm-hmm. And Britain decided to stand up and do what's right for its people. And for lack of better term or understanding or opinions, they're going forward with it. And they're exiting the European Union. I think it's going to be a trickle effect across the other countries in the continent, in the European continent, saying, listen, if they did it, maybe we should consider doing it too.
Mm. And correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, but a big part of it too was they had a few, if you will, smaller countries that seemed to be taking advantage of the union situation.
Right, and when you have a big union like that, there's going to be people that's putting money in the pot. And some right. people are going to say, man, it's unfair that we're putting a lion's share of the money that's inside the pot, and we have very little control. We don't have complete control over it yet. This country is putting very little into it. They're getting mm-hmm. a lot from it, and we want some equal balance, and they weren't feeling that equal balance over the time frame, and said, listen, we'd just rather go independent and do it ourselves.
Yeah, just sick and tired of bailing out too much. I mean, you know,
correct.
A little bit of that's fine. You know, we're bigger, you're smaller, but when it gets to the point of you're abusing your minority status, if you will, it's because something's got to give.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and so I just, you know, how this, it's just crazy how this affects us. I mean, this is across the pond, so to speak, but yet it's affecting us here in America. And that's the crazy part of where we're at today as a country, that people here in America, when it comes to their jobs, their retirement, their financial security and peace of mind, is being affected by this Brexit, which is happening in a completely different country. So we're uniquely intertwined.
Donald Trump made a statement. He's that a lot of folks are saying, what are you doing, Donald? But Donald, in the aftermath of this vote, after seeing, you know, the Dow Jones plummet mm-hmm. 600 points Friday, and I think it dropped another, 260 today, or is that?
Yeah, 270 today, yep.
270 today. Donald saying, it's all right, it's going to be okay in the long run. This is, you know, this is just an aftershock. They'll be fine. Is he right?
Well, if he's I wish he'd bring that crystal ball to everybody. We can use that same crystal ball. But I think in the short term, it's going to affect a lot of people who are nearing retirement, who are currently in retirement. But those they're, you know, planning for retirement, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, I think this is a hiccup. Hopefully it doesn't end up into a recession for Britain and the European Union or anybody else in Europe. But people here that's going to be affected, number one, are the savers, because interest rates are already low. And based on this situation, I don't think that the Federal Reserve is going to increase the rates for loans and banking anymore. I think this is going to trigger, they're going to keep the interest rates low. So it's going to affect savers who are thinking that putting their money inside the bank, they're going to get ahead financially. It's not going to happen. They're going to still be being paid interest at a very historically low interest rate. It's also going to hurt investors because there are going to be some ups and downs with over the next, you know, in those 30, 60, 90 days, what's going to happen to their retirement. Some, you know, 401ks turn into a 201ks, hopefully going back to a 401k based on the volatility of the market. And, you know, certain industries might be affected too based on how much trade they're doing with Europe.
We remember back a couple of years ago, maybe it might be a few years ago, when our country was kind of trying to get itself out of recession, and the whole world was watching, because as our financial markets go, the global market goes. How does that trend with Great Britain? Is it the same thing that it, as they go, it could have an effect on the global market for the next couple of years?
It does, because at least for America, it does, because our number one trading partner is Britain. And so based on the trade talks, based on things that happens between us and Britain, if their economy isn't doing well, that affects us too, because we're the biggest investors. We're the biggest people doing business
right. From
country to country. So, Mm-mm. You know, and what we've learned throughout our economy and through our recession is that usually in times, most likely in times of distress, where new opportunities open up. And if you're an investor on the side, if you're looking at opportunities, I think we've gotten to the point where how often does our economy have to be set back? How often do we have to say we have uncertain times? Well, that's where opportunity is knocking, if we're listening.
Mm. Well, you know, the one thing, what are some of the things that you're hearing as to why Britain decided to have this referendum vote? Was it that they were tired of having issues financially, seeing what we've been going through as far as world security, of course, you know, the incident that happened down in Orlando, Florida, seeing what happened in France, was it that? Or, I mean, I know that I've heard conversations in regards to how Greece has been doing and how they have had continued problems. Was it any specific thing or just a combination?
It's a culmination of all these different factors that you mentioned, which are all important. It's just a compounding factor of just things not happening right in their favor, and them saying, listen, if we're the most sustainable, productive participant in the European Union, country in the European Union, why are we paying for all these different things? We can just be better off doing this ourselves. And so instead of depending upon the European Union helping create a national continental type of economy, they're saying we can create our own economy. And I think that's a great lesson for us as America. So listen, no matter what Trump or Clinton, whichever president gets in office, you know, a president is not going to change our lives. A government is not going to change our lives. The people have to change our lives. And that's, you know, that's our message, is just sharing with everybody. Listen, no matter what happens in a White House, the most important thing that you can pay attention to is what goes down in your house. And that means that we can help ourselves by creating our own economy. And sadly, based on the jobs report, you know, people making 1999 to today, people are making the same amount of money they were in 1999. So, and yet every utility, every food, gas, and cost of living has gone up. We as America have to say, you know what, that's why we're talking about vote1099.com. Create your own economy. Even though you have a job, you can create a side business, all the unnecessary stuff we do. You know, on evenings and weekends, we can actually turn that into productive time by creating an enterprise. And as simple as something and easy as a service-based business or an online business where you can create a new cash flow. Because whatever we're losing in the banks in terms of lack of interest, whatever we're losing in our economy because of ups and downs in our economy and our savings and our investments, we can all smooth that over by just simply doing one thing, make more money. If we can make more money, we can get some financial altitude above all this stuff. And instead of having a Brexit issue, you can have your own exit issue, because you can say, listen, I'm tired of all this stuff going on in America. I'm having my own exit strategy, which is my family's exit strategy.
Again, we're speaking with America's money smart guy, Matt Cipolla, talking with him about the Brexit vote and what's going on. I gotta ask, Matt, is could we see another succession from the European Union? Is there any conversation in the financial markets, or is it a matter of just dealing with what's going on with Britain right now?
Yeah, right now it's with Britain. There's a lot of other countries officially and unofficially getting in the conversation by voting themselves out of the European Union too as well. But that still remains to be seen. But with that being said, to get ahead of all that, assuming military training says plan for the worst, expect the best. Mm. Planning for the worst means how can I hedge against all this? How can I get ahead of all this madness? And instead of being reactive to it, how can I be more proactive? That's a better question, better quality questions I'd be asking myself today.
Okay. How about the investor, the American investor who has kind of taken it on the chin for something that happened across the pond and has seen, you know, nearly 900 points be shaved off of the Dow Jones? When it comes to their 401ks, when it comes to investing, should they turn to be? I mean, I've heard different things from different people in regards, depending on how old you are, myself being an older person.
Couldn't tell.
I know. Should I invest differently than if I'm somebody who's in my 20s, where you may want to take more risks? How does this play out for markets for somebody who is, you know, has money in a 401k or has it in some kind of a retirement fund, and they're seeing this wild roller coaster that we've seen for the past 10 years?
As a general rule, the more mature we become, the less risky we should become too as well. The downside to that conversation, however, is that if we continue to become more safe and try to harbor all this stuff and thinking that the only option for us to be safe and guarantee what we've saved and protect what we've gained in previous years is to put things in cash or cash equivalents, the downside to that is that we're not earning anything on that portion of the money. Mm. It's almost as good as just putting inside a coffee can. The flip side to that conversation is the conversation we're having with America over this whole Vote 1099 campaign that we have over the next 30 days is saying, listen, instead of worrying about your savings and investments that you have been taking on a chin, because people are trying to dribble in $100 a month, dribble in $300 a month, dribble in $1,000 a month. Quite frankly, with those numbers and basic math, most Americans have a hard time really realistically making retirement anyway. Mm. And the conversation we have with most people is, Matt, how do I better budget? Listen, you're broke. There's nothing to budget, and it's nothing you did that's wrong, except the fact that housing, for example, here in the Chicagoland area, 50% of all the people in Chicago say it's unaffordable to live in Chicago, but yet still people live here. Mm. So the answer to a lot of this is not necessarily to do a better budget plan. Is that maybe I should take a better conversation and ask my wife, ask the people around me, how do I make more money, invest in things that create assets, that create income for me, versus the things that take money away from my portfolio.
Other than a guy like yourself or anybody that you're affiliated with, how do people find qualified, people who are financially smart and are going to look to, you know, do what's best, the fiduciary duty to make sure that they're giving you the right advice when it comes to investing and creating, you know, wealth?
You know, a couple questions you want to ask them is, number one, what's your game plan to make sure I don't lose money, period? That's the bottom line. If they can't get past that question, I don't care what type of fiduciary capacity they have. Bottom line, if they can't answer, I can guarantee you can never lose money, that's probably a different conversation you need to have with somebody else. Asking questions, one of the scariest things about searching for somebody and seeking for somebody to help you with your finances is not knowing what questions to ask. My suggestion is just go down that journey. You may not make a decision with your money today. You may not make a decision with your money 6 months from now or even a year from now. But along the way, as you start asking questions, begin this journey about finance, about your personal finances, about your financial security, you're going to get smarter because your mind is going to get sharper. It's going to pay attention to the things that it never paid attention to before. It's going to start asking questions that it never asked questions about before it comes to money. And things that you see in the newspaper, radio shows that you listen to, right, blogs that you read, it's going to make that much more a deeper impact to you, whereas before it wasn't part of your focus.
We got the presidential elections coming up. Of course, we got to get past the respective conventions, and hopefully there's no quick decisions when the Republicans go and they decide who they want to, you know, be on the ballot come November, and the same thing for the Democrats. How do finances play into that big race?
It's funny that you mentioned that. They're talking about everything in a presidential campaign. foreign trade, foreign policy, immigration, the war on terrorism. But one thing that Trump and Clinton are not talking about, they're not talking about entrepreneurship. Because entrepreneurship is really a solution to our country, because most jobs are created by small businesses. And if we're able to talk to the banks, if we're able to talk to our local communities about how to spur the conversation about entrepreneurship, you're going to have a generation of these millennials not having to go back and live with their moms and dads again. You're going to have these immigrants coming from different countries. Instead of being a burden to society, they're going to create businesses that can be a blessing to society because they're creating jobs, they're creating their own enterprise. So it's interesting that as I'm watching this presidential campaign, as it relates to money, sure, they might be talking about Social Security, but one thing they're not talking about entrepreneurship. And see, there's two schools of thought. Two schools of thought says, let's increase our taxes, so therefore we can get more revenue from our country, so therefore we can pay down the national deficit.
Right.
Then the second school of thought, which is the school of thought that I come from, you know, regardless if you call me a Republican or a Democrat, listen, I'm an American, and I believe in the color, not red, not blue. I believe in the color green. And that school of thought is to increase the revenue in our country, and in terms of tax revenue, by creating jobs, but keep the tax percentage the same, but just increase the revenue of the country by creating more revenue and income and cash flow between citizens. You're going to have much more happier people in the middle class. The middle class people, instead of sliding down the wealth ladder, they're starting to have some economic mobility, going from rags back to riches again.
Again, we've been speaking with America's Money Smart Guy, Matt Cipolla. It's been, I got to tell you, it's been great talking with you about Brexit, what's going on over across the seas. And I want to thank the folks, Ryan and Mark, who I called over the weekend. I'm like, oh, I need somebody who is on top of their game. And they go, we got the guy. Just got to get him to confirm, but we got the guy. And you were the dude. They sent me your name, your number. I did a little bit of research on you, and I was like, this guy's good, and he's a Cubs fan. How do you go wrong?
And we're going as national campaign across America, 30 days, 20 cities, helping America create more cash flow through entrepreneurship. Vote1099.com. Thank you, gentlemen, for having me on your show.
Hey, you have yourself a fantastic evening, and hope to talk to you more down the road somewhere.
You got to go Cubs.
You got to go Cubs.
All right, have a good night.
You got it. All right, so that's it. So what do you think? You get to talk with me for the next couple of moments here, Chris. Did you know that built into the backside of this car of this show, you're going to have a chance to not only produce Monday Night Talk, but you're going to have a chance to weigh in. Give me your thoughts on what Matt had to say in regards. Have you been following what's going on overseas with Brexit and the Dow Jones? Are you kind of like, it'll bounce back?
I've been loosely following it up until Friday because I wasn't 100% sure when the vote actually was. And then come Friday, that's when I started seriously following it. And then obviously with the passing of Leave, and then all of a sudden David Cameron...
He's stepping, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I was actually at my other job, and I'm drinking coffee, and I see that headline. I nearly spit my coffee out all over my computer. I wasn't expecting that, but I think it'll be really interesting because I feel like with the leaving the European Union, I feel like it was a lot of fear-mongering with the immigrants and everything, and I feel like they don't fully understand the financial ramifications of leaving the European Union. Like, I was reading an article today. It was saying that, let's just say Honda has a factory in the UK. But there's, with them leaving the European Union, unless Britain can set up trade agreements with the other countries within the European Union, there's nothing really stopping Honda from being like, we don't want to pay the taxes that are now going to be coming by shipping our stuff to, let's say, France.
Right, a tariff or something, right?
Exactly.
Whatever they're going to put on as far as your imports, is being a part of the European Union, you know, you're probably, one of those things you don't have to worry about. But where if you are now an outsider... whole different ballgame.
Well, they say it could potentially double the cost of Ips produced in the UK within the European Union. And there's nothing really stopping, let's say, Honda from moving, being like, oh, we don't want to do that, moving their factory from the UK to, let's say, somewhere within, that's a country that's still within the European Union, and you're losing jobs back in Britain. It's I don't know. I think they don't understand now what's going to happen in the future. Like, obviously, there's still a couple years before anything will really take hold, but it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting as well, because the funny thing was, after that vote was revealed, the thing that's been making its way around the internet, and of course, everything that's on the internet is true, is that now Texas wants to do a Texit. They want to do their own. There was kind of a conversation back a couple of years ago that Texas wanted to secede from the United States and be its own entity. And so with this, what Britain is doing, leaving the European Union, has supposedly spurred that conversation. Whether it'll actually happen or not.
Well, Texas has been trying to secede. Well, excuse me, I should say Texas. A group within Texas has been pushing to secede.
That is correct. It's a group that has been pushing, but they've been able to get a lot of signatures. I don't know if it's internet signatures, or they've been able to get signatures for that conversation to take place. But
yeah, the signatures they want legally will never happen. But
well, again, I would be curious to see what ends up happening. It's you know, we have a lot of problems here in this country, and you know, maybe there are some states that feel that they would be better off as their own entity and not be a part of this fabulous union that we call the United States.
It'll be interesting to see where the world is at, like, let's say, just even a year from now.
Well, at least we'll find out. We'll know who our president will be.
That's
who
exactly
who their running mate will be. That's, you know, that was, I had to ask Matt that when we were talking with America's money smart guy, Matt Zappala, ask him about, you know, what happens depending on who is elected. I thought he would have weighed in and said something that, you know, Trump being a business guy, he brings something to the table and it would stabilize things, but he didn't. He kind of stayed away from that. So, but thank you for weighing in and giving quite the answer to you know, weigh in on having Matt on here talking about Brexit.
No problem.
You got it. All right. And that's it for Monday Night Talk here. We want to thank not only Tony O'Brien, who actually, Tony on his way to the Dave DeCoste event that is taking place here in the South Shore. But we want to thank Barbara Mataloni. And we had Tammy and Anna, both from Council on Aging's. Tammy, of course, with Kingston, and Anna with Pembroke. And, of course, Matt Zappala. We had a chance to talk with him. So that's it for this edition of Monday Night Talk. Up next, Stand of the Gang from South Shore Live, coming at you top of the hour. Till next week at 6:15 p.m. Have yourself a great evening.